Dreams are not meaningless. Dreams have purpose. Dreams shape us. You're listening to Under the Citadel.
A rising sun is born, foretold in a less conventional
over. Remember, kids, public nudity is a serious offense, especially around squeamish, super strong enforcement officers. Listeners, you know that I try to maintain the utmost professionalism on this show. We may be a small production, but that's no reason for us to slack in journalistic integrity. That being said, it's been a slow week, and I have something of a more personal nature that I'd like to share today. It's trivial, really. I had an unsettling dream last night, so I'm calling upon your collective powers of reasoning to help unravel it. The dream begins. I'm at the front of a college auditorium, a small nub of chalk in my hand. A complex algebraic problem fills the board, spanning an entire wall with Greek letters and swimming numbers. I get straight to work, feeling very strongly that this equation holds the key to a terrible secret that I must uncover. I try my best to not look out into the audience, but to no avail. Every seat in the auditorium is filled by an angry shark snapping at me. My hand feels slimy. I look down. The chalk has been transfigured into a fistful of slippery minnows. I throw them into the audience and use the ensuing feeding frenzy as a chance to find more chalk. The sharks occasionally lunge towards me, and I fend them off with a firm swat on the nose. This is a fairly standard dream setup, to the best of my knowledge. What was unusual about this particular dream was that there was a dark hooded figure in the back of the classroom. Once I could see it, my whole perspective shifted. This entity, lurking in my periphery, seemed somehow more real than anything, more tangible than any other object in my dream. It doesn't even do anything, it just stands there. Occasionally, when thrashing sharks obscured its line of sight, the figure repositioned itself to get a better view of me. I felt disarmed, like I was being studied. I don't know, listeners. It's just a silly dream. I'm sorry to bore you with my neuroses. I do have some real news to share with you. Just this morning, the strangest-looking egg was found in the Joanne's without commentary. It has stripes and patterns that shift every time you look at it.
To borrow from several episodes, here's what she found.
If you'll indulge me, I had another dream I'd like to share. The last time I shared a dream on the show, I received overwhelming positive reactions. Or at least, Aunt Regina mentioned in passing that she listened and that it wasn't horrible. Positive feedback nonetheless. In this new dream, I was exploring an old duplex down the street from my childhood home. I was joined on this expedition by Robin, along with Jeremy Weiss. I haven't seen Jeremy in ages. We used to play Red Rover at the neighborhood park. Or he would just push me to the ground occasionally. Maybe we weren't friends. It's all a blur. His father was that magnet-powered hero who fished everyone's keys out of storm drains. But I'm getting off track. We opened a hatch to the attic. It was a circular room. A plushy couch followed the walls, encasing the room. The attic was empty, save for a long wooden coffin in the center. I felt uneasy and wanted to leave, but Robin insisted that we open the coffin to see its contents. The lid creaked open, revealing a sleeping vampire, dressed head to toe in a nightgown. Once sunlight reached its fair skin, the vampire disintegrated into ash. The black dust blew out into our faces. I coughed, choking on the plumes. Jeremy coughed as well. He then peeled off his skin, unveiling a cold, robotic face underneath. Startled, I turned to Robin. Her lips moved, but no words came out. Her eyes were fixed on the couches, and I followed the gaze. The couch was breathing? I ripped the upholstery to reveal pulsating flesh. We were faced with living material masquerading as a couch, and a robot posing as my childhood friend. I actually have this dream a lot. Sometimes it's at City Hall, and sometimes Jack Kano is there, but there's always robot faces and pulsing organic matter. The difference is that this time, a shadow stretched across the floor. I found the shadow's source at a window. That hooded figure again, watching me. She seemed so real. As I stared, the dream dissolved into pencil sketches. Seemingly, the dreamwalker's doing. This makes two instances that I've seen this dreamwalker. You may be thinking, Santino, recurring dreams are very common. What's the big deal? The big deal, beloved listener, is that they feel more real than anything else I have ever encountered. More real than me. These encounters bring my entire existence into question. Am I simply an imagined figment in their dream? Is there any way to know? On that note, let's hear a word from our sponsors. Modern Living got you down?
Head to toe, elbow to elbow. It seems to convey an overarching theme.
Let's be learning
together.
I had the best dream. I was in a penthouse apartment, and everything was calm. Clock ticking, tea cooling, an autumn breeze through bay windows, peaceful and alone. I watched the city from my perch. The people looked like miniatures, as if I could pick them up like a child's play toy. Citizens went about their business, wholly unaware of my watchful eye. All except a shadow, staring back at me from the distance. The hooded figure. I waved. My salutation went unacknowledged. A flash of light broke my line of sight, and my visitor was nowhere to be seen. I was left to my serene surroundings. I've never seen that penthouse before, but I have a deep feeling that it will be important to my future. I think the Dreamwalker may be an omen of things to come. Actually, I hope not. I'd rather not have my other dreams come true. Mathematical sharks and living cushions are best left to the subconscious. But this one... I believe that fate plays a part in shaping our lives. Sometimes destiny has big plans. Now listen to me, going on and on about the future. You're tuning in to hear about the here and now. In tonight's scheduled episode, I will take you into the underbelly of the robot civil rights movement.
Is it dangerous? Can we trust them?
Stay tuned.
From the top of my tower, I can see our city spread below. The sun sets on the rooftops of the place I call home. And a charge comes with a call from an unknown voice. It only speaks to me and whispers to my mind the unspoken words. Tell them what you see. I see a light, I see a light, and I see love. I see a light, I see life, and I see love. As the city sleeps beneath my watch, I find myself alone, and my heart sinks within me as the night turns cold. Dressed in red, raises up a sword as his army storm the ground. The voice comes back to ask me, what do you see now? I see pain, I see fire, and I see blood. The dust begins to settle and the smoke is cleared. All that I can see from the top of my tower is a shadow of what our city used to be. But in my soul there's a hope and a comfort. Voice I can't ignore. Of this city, I'm the watchman, and I know that there's more. A new life, a new life, a new love. A new life.
This has been a production of Real Contender Storytelling. Under the Citadel is written by Bree Porter, with Davey Morrison as the voice of Santino. Original music by Michael Biancardi. You can find the full score on SoundCloud. This episode's featured song was The Watchman by Michael Barrow and the Tourists. Find them on iTunes or Spotify. The Citadel needs your help. Join our community on Patreon to get project updates and special member bonuses. Just search for Under the Citadel Patreon. Our podcast has a family. Be sure to check out our other productions at realcontender.com. Thank you.